Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, with summer here, I know I've been getting out and hiking. I hope you have been getting out in nature too. It just feels so good. But I've actually been able to try out my Primus Trail Knit, and they are so good. Vivo Barefoot has really done a really good job with not just having this barefoot, you know, shoe, but also being able to use it out in nature. And that's, I think, what scares people sometimes is being able to go over rocks and not hurt your feet, right? If you don't have extra support. Well, what's great about these is that they're actually super grippy. So I feel like going down, even when I was going down gravel, I don't feel like I'm slipping. I feel like I have control of my foot because it still moves with me within the shoe, but they're grippy, they're sturdy, they're awesome, and they're really cute looking. I also got some compliments on them. So if you haven't gotten any of your Vivo Barefoot shoes yet, and you want to do some hiking, check out the Primus Trail Knit and you get 15% off. We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. So for today's PT Pearl, we're really going to dive into rotator cuff.
Yes, the old rotary cup. Have you ever had a patient come to you and be like, oh, I got a tear in my rotary cup? And I'm like, your rotator cuff? They're like, yeah, something like that.
Nope. No.
I guess that must be a small town Minnesota, Midwest Minnesota thing. Heard that more often than I could say.
LA, I think rotator cuff is a pretty buzzword.
Rotator cuff's a buzzword, yeah. The buzzwords in the Midwest. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Rotary cup. We'll get there.
Anyways, we want to dive into what is the rotator cuff? Like, what does that even mean when people say you have a strain in your rotator cuff? Why is it so commonly diagnosed? Mm-hmm. What does that mean if it's diagnosed?
Some of the different diagnoses you'll get with it, whether it's a strain or impingement or tear or tendinosis, tendinopathy, all these different names and words that we use to label this rotator cuff pain.
Yeah, so we'll dive into all those different types of things to help you just better understand what that means within your body. We'll go through a couple studies on the prevalence of rotator cuff and how often it's diagnosed and what it means and how you might be walking around with a rotator cuff strain or minor tear and you might not even know it. A lot of what we like to talk about, Dom and I, we really go into, you know, how overdiagnosed things are sometimes and why we cannot just rely on a diagnosis to determine the pain. Because if we want to dive into some of those studies like right away, I mean, a lot of people get diagnosed or a lot of people can have that rotator cuff strain or tear or minor tear, obviously not a full tear, but a minor tear and not even know it. Or they might have that tendonitis within one of the rotator cuff muscles and again, not even know it. And so all of a sudden, if we're just going to say, oh, now I have a pain and now I'm only going to contribute it to that diagnosis, well, it might be yes. And what else do we need to pay attention to? So we want to go into just bringing awareness to what it is and then providing you with some tools that you can use within your own body to start seeing how we can kind of manipulate the body and why we don't need to just focus on individual muscles.
Absolutely. And I mean, the studies that I was looking at mainly and kind of what you were getting at is how we in Western medicine and in American medicine were so good and so smart with images and with tests at knowing exactly what's going on as far as the numbers or as far as what the tissue looks like. And that's makes it very tempting to then once we figure that out, be like, oh, there it is. That's why I have the pain. That's why my shoulders hurt. And in reality, that's just the end manifestation of the real reasons that your shoulder's hurting, you know? And so some of the studies I looked at, especially past age 50. So of course, these were on older populations, but 20 to 25% of people can be walking around with a partial tear or up to a full thickness tear.
That's crazy.
And be asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And up to 2/3 of the rotator cuff tears they found were asymptomatic. Mm. And some of the populations were done on asymptomatic people, meaning they had no shoulder pain. Yep. And it was still almost 20% people registered with some sort of rotator cuff tear. which is crazy to me. But then I also, if I can go into a little tangent, when we talk about imaging and a muscle and an MRI, when we image a muscle on an MRI, imagine one of those thick ropes that has about 1,000 little threads in it, right? And if we just nick and cut about 10 of those 1,000 threads, so very minor disruption in that rope, that would register as a partial tear in MRI imaging because it's a disruption mm-hmm. and it'll cause that interference. So that's also where we have to understand what some of these positive findings on MRIs are showing mm-hmm. and how minor they may be. So, mm-hmm. you know, a long little tangent as to some of the research I looked at, a lot of people will have these tears. A lot of them will be asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't necessarily mean that it is the tear causing the pain.
Yeah, totally. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Little rundown and we'll put any of the studies that we use in show notes and stuff so you can look over them.
Definitely. And when it comes to what is the rotator cuff, let's cover that for a hot second. So we, in PT school usually, or anyone studying anatomy or anything, mm-hmm. we say the sits muscles.
Yeah.
So this is an easier way to understand all the different muscles. So these are basically, so we can describe them all real quick.
Yeah.
So we have our supraspinatus, and that is the most popular one that usually we're talking about tendonitis or impingement or a lot of the tendinosis. So meaning that mm-hmm. it's not like an itis, it's not an acute inflammation. It's kind of a longer term inflammation within the tendon. So it's been overused and kind of got built that inflammation for a chronic period of time now.
Yeah.
When we say chronic, that's usually over 3 months.
Yeah. And what Jen's kind of touching on is when you say tendonitis versus tendinosis.
Yeah.
Itis, when you hear that tendonitis ending, means it's like acute or a short term, or this has been happening for just a short amount of time and it's warm and it's swollen, versus osis, longer amount of time, not as much warmth and swelling necessarily, but still have that achiness that will come with a tendinosis type diagnosis.
Yeah. So the supraspinatus kind of is at the very top, and it's a small muscle here. So it kind of is just right at the top of the shoulder, but it comes down to the tip. So we have this top bone that we can kind of grab right here is actually part of our shoulder blade.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes up, like, think of the ball and socket within the shoulder. It's going to be the top portion right up here. Okay. So that bone that floats up and over on that shoulder blade area, this is what we can grab right over here. And then that's going to connect over into our collarbone, stuff like that. Okay. But now when I move my shoulder up, that is the head of my humerus right here is going to move up and along. And we want our shoulder blade to hopefully be moving out of the way so that we have full range of motion. But if we don't have full range of motion and something's getting caught and stuck, you can see how if a tendon or the portion of that muscle, that tendon from that muscle is running underneath this bone here from that shoulder blade and on top of my humeral head here, then if I don't move my shoulder blade out of the way, I can get that pinching. So the pinching over and over and over and over again is what can cause that acute or chronic inflammation, that irritation, that sense to our nervous system and to our brain and saying, pain, pain,
ouch,
alert.
Ouch, ouch. And that's where with rotator cuff impingement symptoms, one of the common things we see is what we call a painful arc, which is at about 90 degrees. Because our humerus, like Jen was saying, our arm bone gets up to 90 degrees on its own pretty easily. And we have plenty of space to do that. Even if we're sitting with bad posture, 90 degrees, check, right? If I try going up above 90 degrees with bad posture without moving my shoulder blade, I start getting some pressure in the front sides of my shoulders. It's once I move my thoracic spine and shoulder blade and let that shoulder blade rotate out and clear that I can get above head without having that pinching. So that's where you'll get that painful arc because we might not have that space you're talking about.
Yeah. And we'll dive into all of that and how that's all related to the shoulder at the very end. So that's one of the muscles, supraspinatus. Mm-hmm. Then we also have subscapularis. And if you reach underneath your armpit and kind of grab your shoulder blade on the inside, don't pinch too hard because we do have arteries and blood blood.
There's blood, blood.
No, but we have arteries and nerves and all that that run out of there. So if you might notice, like, my hand is going numb. So don't, like, grab too hard. We need to be careful, especially when you're unsure of what you're grabbing there. But basically, the subscapularis is on the inside of that shoulder blade. So my shoulder blade's on the back, right? So I'm going to be on the inside. And this is really our internal rotation muscle. So it's going to take this arm from the outside and rotate it. And then that's also connecting out here. So can also contribute to some symptoms of a pinching of that impingement, that tendonitis, that kind of stuff. The other one, which mine likes to flare up quite a bit, is the infraspinatus.
A lot of people have real hot infraspinatuses. I feel like that's a real popular one to, especially if you sit at desks a lot, especially if you have that kind of internally rotated, or if you do a lot of weightlifting. Anybody who's into some like heavier CrossFit or that type of weightlifting, I find has really hot infraspinatuses.
So that's on the back of that shoulder blade.
And that does more of your external rotation of the arm.
Yeah. And the reason, especially if you're stuck in an internally rotated position, working on a computer and kind of have your arms kind of coming in. Now imagine this arm that really wants to pull you out and open is now being forced internally. So it's almost working on like a pulling stretched type motion. And that's why it gets so hot and heavy. So think of it like elongated and but still trying to hold you up and hold you into place. So that is why that back of that shoulder blade, you touch it and it's like, ooh, that really doesn't feel so good. And that's why we usually like to say, okay, what kind of mechanisms can we bring in where we kind of take pressure off of that shoulder blade, which we might be able to tap onto a little bit. But
and that guy's kind of paired with your fourth rotator cuff muscle, which is the teres minor, who kind of runs along the same similar path right from the outside and the bottom corner of that shoulder blade. All the way up the arm, and also does kind of that external rotation moment.
In general, the rotator cuff and why it's so important and why we do these internal external motions, now you can see why like these are probably prescribed a lot, is because it literally does internal rotation and external rotation. Those are the main forces. But the main reason that the rotator cuff is talked about so much and why we like to bring attention to it and pay attention to it is because the rotator cuff is literally what is holding your shoulder in the socket. Like it is holding it, because we don't have like ligaments and tendons that come underneath the shoulder. There's no like, you know, you have a superior part.
You have a transverse humeral ligament. You've got things all around.
But we don't have anything underneath. So our shoulder would fall out of the socket if we didn't have strong and stable rotator cuff muscles. So they literally contribute to the stability within the shoulder. Now, I think, you know, they get hot, they get heavy. We pay attention to them a lot, but what we also have to realize, and just like you showed, Dom, earlier, is that if you're in a hunched position, your arm is only going to move so much. So if we're like, okay, you have rotator cuff syndrome and we're only going to give you internal, external type exercises, we're only going to address the stability of that shoulder and say, let's build on that stability.
I'm just going to sit there and do inferior mobs all day long.
Well, no one knows what that is. We don't need to go into that.
But point being, I sit there and do manual work or tissue work on your shoulder all day long to get those symptoms to go away.
Yeah.
Similar to you saying, doing exercises, internal, external rotation at the shoulder.
Yeah.
I think you're getting to the point that we need to do more.
Yes, 100%. And that's why, you know, we have to then look at like, okay, how do we get that shoulder out of that painful position? And that's where we look at the thoracic spine, because we can literally change your shoulder range of motion and those impingement syndromes or symptoms just by taking that thoracic, that upper spine portion, and having it upright. Literally, when we move it into a more extended position, we move the rib cage on top of that. So remember that our rib cage is connected to that thoracic spine. If I adapt and move my thoracic spine, I move that rib cage. Now, when I move that rib cage, I have freedom for my shoulder blade to move. And that is the whole point. Like if my shoulder blade doesn't move, then I'm going to get more pinching into my shoulder area. I'm going to make my rotator cuff work overload because it's mm-hmm. trying to do all of it then, rather than utilizing my thoracic spine, utilizing my shoulder blade, utilizing more bigger muscle groups rather than just these small, tiny ones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. you're on a roll. Well, no, and that's what I find the most is what causes a lot of these imbalances. I mean, yeah, the rotator cuff does the internal external rotation and, you know, our supraspinatus helps us elevate our arm, but it is more that stabilizer and it's more active when we're doing really, really light loads, which mm-hmm. is why you have this big shoulder pain. And say you're somebody who is very active or does CrossFit or does some heavy overhead lifts and you get these tiny little wimpy exercises and you're like, what is this? Mm-hmm. I lift hundreds of pounds. How is this going to help fix my shoulder?
Yeah.
In reality, it is those other shoulder muscles taking over and just making that ball migrate in the socket because our rotator cuff can't handle it.
Yeah.
And then that's what causes overload and strain.
Yeah.
And if we do it once... maybe an itis or an acute inflammation. And if you do that type of exercise or lifting over 6 months, then it may be something that comes on over time and you might not notice it right away. But
yeah. And going off of that, some of the big muscles that we commonly usually see that take over, the pec being one of the first ones. So mm-hmm. imagine this pec muscle, which pulls you into internal rotation, is going to migrate that shoulder forward. So if you notice like a lot of like the shoulder is kind of rounded forward more. We can actually feel it. Like if I feel where the top of that shoulder blade is again, and then if I go down a little bit and feel where the bone, so the head of that humerus is, and if it is like, if it's resting right on top of each other, you're doing really well. But if you can feel like that, you can pinch into the very top of that shoulder blade. It feels like a flat bone at the very top. And you feel where like you come out around to the side of the shoulder and you kind of pinch and you notice like you could take a picture of this. You can have someone do it to you. You notice that your fingers that are grabbing the side of that head of the humerus are in front of that shoulder blade, then you might notice like, oh, I'm getting a lot of pulling forward. I'm getting a lot of pulling into that internally rotated position. So it's not just about working external rotation. That's great. But again, we might overwork external rotation. So how can I first address what's pulling it forward? And that's where, you know, kind of getting into positions that will allow the pec to relax a little bit more, allow the pec to not do so much work, make sure that you're utilizing the punching muscle, your serratus anterior, rather than just relying on the pec to do a lot of motions, making sure that you're utilizing your whole anterior core. So like your obliques, your rectus, like everything when we're doing motions, that we're not just relying on this pec. So it's a whole, I mean, this can be overwhelming to hear because it truly is like then now, okay, now not just looking at the pec and other muscles that might be overworking and overloading, your upper traps. Mm-hmm. Upper traps. And that could be even just how you're like sitting at work all day and allowing your shoulders to come up to your ears because you're getting so stressed out. And then you go to the gym and then the only thing that knows how to activate is your upper trap.
Yep.
And then lats can take over for some of those smaller, like lower trap and
internal rotators, definitely.
Yeah. And some of these other muscles that want to help with it. So that's where we're not anti working the rotator cuff. We definitely think that it's important and it's something that going back to those little stabilizing exercises help, but you also get to address where my movement imbalances might be, what might be overtaking, what might not be moving well. So the thoracic spine, the rib cage, the shoulder blade, and how we can address the system as a whole rather than just looking at that inflamed supraspinatus.
Definitely. Because if we don't do anything outside of that, then that thing is going to get poked again and come back around and be angry. And then the more times you chronically inflame or irritate a rotator cuff, that's when it becomes that chronic issue that we just start to attach ourselves to.
Yep.
And we start to have come back around. Oh, my shoulder's flaring up again. Mm-hmm. What this time?
Mm-hmm. You know, we stop moving as well. Mm-hmm. We stop reaching as well and doing other things. I'm going to give one of my favorite exercises.
Do it.
And then you can give one of your favorite exercises.
All right, see if I can think of anything.
but one of the favorite things that I like to do just to like maintain so that we're not going into pain is actually addressing that thoracic spine. So every morning before you get out of bed, do what is called an open book, which you can find on my Instagram, DocGenFit, everywhere, because I do it all the time. But literally just laying on one side, you reach forward and then you bring that shoulder blade back and you reach and you open back. So it's laying on your side, keeping your knees over to one side and only moving from the upper back. And you do some breathing with that, some slow relaxing, and you just get that upper spine to mobilize. Because when we mobilize into rotation, we're actually helping with extension as well. So it's not just a, how do I pull my shoulder blades down and back more, but it's, how do I rotate more? How do I move throughout the spine so that I can get it to open up? Because even just practicing rotation will help with extension. And again, just like we showed earlier, if you can get into better extension within the body, then you will allow that shoulder blade space to move.
A lot of people, just by changing the back, can gain another 20 degrees of shoulder flexion.
Totally.
And they're amazed at how it feels to go overhead. So. Yeah. I love that. Change the back, you change the shoulder, change that thoracic spine. I think I'm going to take a little cop out for my one exercise and say that, especially when it comes to shoulder pain or rotator cuff pain, especially if you work in a job or do something that causes a seated position or causes you to be in a stagnant or the same position for a long time. My favorite rule or exercise or movement rule is what I call the 30 for 30 rule, where about every 30 minutes that you're at work or that you're in that position or that you're driving, please do something consciously to get yourself in a different position. So that's where I would say, if it is driving or typing or something that brings you into that forward, internally rotated, rolled position, do something that just opens your chest up. Brings your shoulders back and down and lets you see yourself explore that open position for about 30 seconds and then get back to work. It doesn't even have to be anything specific. And I don't want it to be anything specific, because if you follow that rule and do that, think if you work for 8 hours, you should be doing it about 10 or 12 times. Or at least if you get up for the bathroom, just then stretch your body into a different position. And if you give your body that influence consistently, 12, 10, 12, 16 times throughout the day, after 6 weeks or 6 months, that's when you will start to see some different change in how you're conscious about that pain or that shoulder or that tension that builds up throughout the day. So that's my favorite exercise.
That's everything that we talk about on the Optimal Body, right? It's not about finding one optimal position, but it's about finding what optimal means within your body. And literally, one of my favorite sayings that I've been saying so much is, the best posture is the next posture. So especially sitting in a car, sitting in a desk, like exactly like he's saying, it's not about one place to move into. It's about exploring different places. It's just different from what you were doing. Find something different. That's what is his name?
Anthony Lowe.
Yes. He always says, do something different. Like, it's not about doing, like, what are my shoulder blades doing and how do I find the perfect posture? But it's like, just do something different. If you're rounded, how can you do something different? Maybe it's rotating. Maybe it's pulling back. Maybe it's, you know, it's just different. Like, explore your body. Do something different. And don't be afraid to feel, and that's why rolling, all these other tools, they become helpful and useful, because we're giving proprioception, we're helping map the brain a little bit better so that it connects to that injury, that shoulder. Like, going to see a physical therapist, getting hands on you, it's important. Like, it's not going to necessarily change, fix, or manipulate you into a different place, but it helps to map the brain so that you start to understand what's happening around the shoulder. So. Roll on balls, feel your shoulder, go get touched.
And if it is really something serious or something you want help with, reach out and we can maybe help find somebody where you're at or give recommendations. But we can know that it's tough to know how to approach a provider and know that you're going to get good service too. Yeah. So,
Or you can go dive into the mobility method and self-assess.
That is a great and amazing way. And trust me, the movements in there will help you figure out if your shoulder is uncomfortable or restricted.
Or if your thoracic spine isn't moving, is your shoulder blade not moving? Da, 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 all the things.
Absolutely.
Anyway, little plug there.
Yeah, humble plug.
As always, thank you so much for tuning in and being here with us. We so appreciate it. And I just am always floored by the fact that people want to continue to learn and figure out what is not working well in their body. So don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And if you could just leave us a review, it really helps so that more people get to listen to this podcast. More people get to be helped within their body. And stay tuned because next week we talk about flat feet. So if that's something that you've struggled with, you're not sure about your feet, stay tuned, subscribe, and we'll see you next week.